Next on the Wonder Years.
He's smart.
In my opinion, the Greeks did have the best gods.
He's funny.
Are we talking hypothetically?
He's cute. He's fun to be with.
Winnie Cooper asked me out.
Winnie Cooper? Really?
Winnie Cooper.
I don't think you should lead Paul on like this.
Who says I'm leading him on?
Isn't it amazing?
Totally unbelievable.
I know what you mean.
Give.
Something wrong in Kevy Land?
Hey there, Wonderlings. I hope you guys are having a great Saturday evening. I'm Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. And today I will be reviewing Season 3, Episode 13, She, My Friend, and I, which aired on February 6th, 1990. In this episode, Paul and his girlfriend Carla have a falling out. Wanting to make his best friend feel better, Kevin offers to set Paul up with Winnie. Yeah, that's a bad mistake. At first, Kevin is happy about the idea. I doubt it. But after a while, he begins to wonder if he's made a mistake. Well, gee, you think, Kevin? Alright, guys, I'm going to jump right into the theme song, and then we're going to find out what exactly goes down. Because this is not good. Don't ever think that this is the best way to help your friend by setting them up with someone hours after they've been dumped by somebody. And especially don't set them up with one of your friends, especially if the three of you are friends, because that is going to end in disaster. And especially if that friend that you both have in common is one that you share romantic feelings for. All right, guys, I'll be right back.
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
The episode begins at the start of a new year as we reflect back on a few shots from 1969 and some of the 60s. And then we get a shot of the ball dropping in New York City, ringing in the new year and welcoming a new decade, 1970. Kevin mentions how it's time for moving on and how he'd gotten over Winnie Cooper as we move to the school hallway and see Winnie at her locker and she calls out a hello across the hall to Kevin. I notice Kevin's still able to fit into that Jets jacket. I wonder when that won't be the case anymore. Maybe next season? She tells him, hey, I like your shirt. And he tells her, oh, thanks. Then he complains about, can you believe the amount of history homework we're getting? It's like, yeah, we've been getting slammed with it. Can you imagine how much history today's kids probably have to learn? Yikes, like probably twice as much as them, I bet. Kevin gazes at Winnie, listing her many admirable virtues, her smile, the way she tosses her hair, the lilt of her perfume. But he informs us, well, he was over that. As he sneaks a quick look at her while her back is turned. Yeah, he's not over it. I don't know, Kev, I think there's some longing there. Winnie closes her locker, says, bye, and then heads off to class. As Kevin watches her go, he tells that was pretty much what their relationship boiled down to. Hi and goodbye. As he tells us how strong Paul and Carla's relationship is, just as Carla breaks up with him. Ouch. Poor guy. Nothing like getting shit on by the girl who you spent the majority of last school year and this one dating. In junior high, that's got to be like close to a marriage. Paul mopes, repeating the same three words over and over again. She dumped me. She dumped me. She dumped me. He's in shock. Doesn't help that Kevin tells him, come on, Paul, snap out of it. Kevin, shut the hell up. They'd been dating for a full school year and a half. They were practically married, and you want him to snap out of it like when he found out he didn't get a part in the play? This is a big deal. I seriously thought they were endgame, like Mouth and Millie from One Tree Hill. I mean, do you see Paul date anyone else in the rest of the series? No. Oh, but get this. Here's the reason she wanted to break up. She wanted to spend more time with her friends. What kind of lame-ass excuse is that, huh? I know they're in junior high, but couldn't she prioritize how much time were they spending together? Poor Paul in Dumpsville. He also says she told him that he was suffocating her. So, but what, he was basically monopolizing all of her time? That kind of does sound like a really clingy person. And I don't know anyone that would be able to put up with someone who's all clingy and naggy and everything. But Jeremy puts up with me. Paul actually says, I thought she wanted to be suffocated. As in, hang around her all the time and give affection isn't a bad thing. But maybe that can sometimes be too much. Like a girl, sometimes she needs her independence too while dating. She needs to be her own person and, you know, have relationships with other people. Kevin tries cheering Paul up and suggesting, hey, how about an ice cream sandwich? And Paul just gives him a look like, no, not good enough. Then Kevin suggests, hey, how about we go to the movies? And Paul sinks deeper into his depression, muttering how he and Carly used to go to the movies. Paul tries to cheer himself up by blowing bubbles in his chocolate milk, and Kevin tries to buck up his spirits by telling him, you don't want Carla to see you like this, do you? Do you want her to feel sorry for you? At hearing this, Paul perks up, like asking with a smile, do you think she would? Kevin tells him, no, you don't want to look pathetic. So he suggests Paul, hey, why don't you make her jealous by dating someone else? Well, maybe, but do you really want to resort to that level? Paul's a stand-up guy. I don't think he would do that. But Paul proves me wrong by telling Kevin, yeah, I could do that, couldn't I? Kevin asks Paul, who do you want to ask out? Paul just slumps his shoulders and mutters sadly, Carla. We hear the whistle of Coach Cutlip and find ourselves in gym class with Kevin and Paul as Coach Cutlip explains the rules of wrestling and how it mainly comes from up here as he points to his brain. Yeah, wrestling is all about maneuvers and strategy as well as staying one step ahead of your opponent. While the boys are sitting there listening, Kevin suggests to Paul a girl named Allison who's always staring at Paul, and Paul just says, no, she's too dumb. Wow, that hurts. How smart would you have to be good enough for Paul? It seems like he only wants girls who are like as brainy as him, maybe? Kevin then suggests a girl named Angela Lands and mentions she's smart, but Paul's complaint about her is her head is too ovalish. What the hell does that mean? Okay, now you're just being nitpicky. Kevin goes through his little mental list of possible candidates, suggests Jill Simons, who Paul says, reminds me of a banana. Damn, Paul, no girl is good enough for you. Or he's just really hung up on Carla. Well, he just got dumped that day. He is in no condition to be dating. He's still in the mourning process. Hell, Kevin's giving him no time to properly mourn his loss or lick his wounds. He just wants him to move on so he'll stop complaining about missing Carla. Paul mentions, well, there is this one girl he maybe likes. But he doesn't want to say, and Kevin's all jazzed like, come on, tell me, who is it? Paul gets this giggly grin on his face and says two words. Winnie Cooper. As Kevin's world shatters into a million pieces, I'd be like, oh, come again? This reveal is way out of left field and unexpected, since when did Paul have a thing for Winnie? In the locker room, Kevin asks Paul if he heard him right. Winnie Cooper? Paul mentions how, well, I've known her for a long time and everything, but that I wouldn't ask her out because I know how you feel about her. And on the plus side, you know, the idea of him and Winnie just doesn't make sense in his eyes. I guess not. But Kevin takes it upon himself to ask Winnie for Paul while she's heading outside for field hockey practice. She's surprised at this when she asks, you mean like ask him out? Ask him out? And he informs her that, well, Paul's been feeling low ever since Carla dumped him, so she'd be really doing him a favor to boost his spirits by asking him out on a date. So this is like, what, a pity date? Or it could be just a friend helping out a friend. I think it's a pity date. Winnie eyes Kevin suspiciously, asking, well, if does Paul know that you're doing this for him? And, you know, why doesn't he just ask me himself? Kevin tells her, well, Paul's shy. I'm surprised that doesn't cross her mind first. I mean, come on, Winnie, you know Paul. Hell, even Carla had to make the first move in the relationship for them to even have one. Kevin tells her another reason Paul is holding back is because he thinks that, well, Kevin still harbors feelings for Winnie. To which Kevin does confirm all that is water under the bridge, and she tells him, well, all right, I'll ask Paul to the movies. Then, awkwardly standing there with nothing left to say, she goes off to join her teammates on the field for practice, leaving Kevin standing there smiling like, yeah, this is going to work out great. When Kevin steps out onto the bus, he sees Winnie talking to Paul, asking him to the movies. You know, I wonder what movie they're going to see in 1970. I don't think they had too many kid-friendly movies. When she walks away, Kevin plops down in the seat next to Paul and asks, hey, what's up? Paul, still in a daze, looks at Kevin unbelievingly and in a breathy voice says, oh, me? Oh, nothing. Then he completely gushes over the fact that Winnie Cooper asked him out, almost like winning a date with a famous actress. They put this girl, shining star that she is, a girl they've known all their lives, I might add, on a pedestal. Since she's reached superstardom popularity in 7th grade, they make it seem like now she's so unattainable and out of their reach, like getting a chance to talk to her is like winning the lottery. Well, at least in Paul's mind, that's how I'm sure he's built her up. Paul keeps repeating how Winnie Cooper asked me out. Ad nauseum to Kevin, as Kevin just kind of rolls his eyes like, oh boy, here we go. But Kevin started the ball rolling, so he's just kind of have to deal with it. It's your idea, buddy. Paul turns to Kevin, a look of sympathy on his face when he realizes what he's saying could be doing to Kevin as he tells him, you know, if this makes you uncomfortable and you're not okay with this, you just say the word and I will drop the whole thing. Kevin tells him, don't worry, I told you, it's fine. So later that night, Kevin has a rough night of sleep, tossing and turning. Then he gets up bright and early to head to school as we see his dad outside in his robe getting the paper from Buster. He arrives, although Buster does not have a name yet. I don't even think we'll find out his name until season 4. So Kevin arrives so early to school that the janitor is still polishing the floor. In the afternoon, in between classes, Paul heads to his locker and Kevin asks him, hey, how was your date with Winnie? To which Paul replies, it was fine. Not really giving up any other information. Instead, he just beams, commenting how great a day it is and how things work out when you're feeling low, and then something great ends up happening. Yep, everything's coming up, Paul. Isn't life great? Kevin asks if he's heard from Carla, and Paul just tells him, no. And Kevin mentions how, well, it's like the way Paul says it, he's like, oh, no. Like, he wasn't really hearing Kevin when he said it. Like, and Kevin just kind of mentions, like, oh, you know, I'm sure you guys will be back together by the end of the week. Paul tells him, I don't think so. And Kevin's like, well, why not? He's like, well, I've got another date. I'm busy this weekend. This is when Kevin decides to see if this is true and asks Winnie, and she confirms that, yes, we're going out again. And then asks Kevin, why do you want to know? Kevin tells her, well, I'm just surprised that you're going on a second date with Paul. And Winnie asks Kevin, well, what are you getting at? He tells her how her, you know, first asking him had helped Paul feel better, but really there's no reason to continue to drag this out any longer and to, you know, you don't want to lead him on. Kevin mentions how since he knows she doesn't like Paul like that, and she tells him how she actually does, saying how sweet he is and he's smart and cute, which Kevin practically gags hearing this as he's asked surprised, cute? She ends their conversation after Kevin tells her it was his idea in the first place to have her ask out Paul to make him feel better, and she shouldn't, like I said, shouldn't lead him on. She gives him a scornful look like, you have some nerve. And then she tells him, you know, it's not really any of your business anyway. And then she turns and walks away. Kevin may have set them up, but what happens to them after that is their business, not his. Kevin's still having trouble sleeping as we see him staring out his bedroom window in the morning light. In the hallway, we get a close-up shot of Paul at his locker, spraying 3 or 4 shots of Banaka into his mouth. Does he need that much? He then shuts his locker, then puts on his glasses, smiling, and happily jogs over to Winnie. I notice they're both wearing red. Was that on purpose or just a coincidence? Carla comes up to Kevin, pissed as hell that he interfered by setting Paul up with Winnie, afraid basically now that she's never going to get him back. She tells him, thanks, Kevin. Thanks a lot, angrily as she storms off. If I were him, I'd be all like, excuse me, bitch. You broke up with him. You want to bitch to him? You go bitch to Paul. I mean, she started this whole ball rolling originally. How about for starters, Carla could lose the pigtails. I mean, seriously, what does she think she is? Season 1 Marcia Brady? During lunch, Paul tells Kevin that Carla is a dear friend as he distractedly looks through a book on Greek mythology until he finds Icarus, who it turns out is Winnie's favorite, as Kevin tells him that Carla doesn't see herself as just a dear friend to Paul. Paul tells Kevin that Winnie's really into Greek mythology, and then he looks at Kevin like, oh, I'm sure you already knew that, though. Kevin thinks to himself, no. Like, she never talked to me about Greek mythology before, or really much of any interest that she has. This is news to me, also since Winnie seemed to be kind of a blank slate personality-wise. All we really know about her is that she had a brother, died in Vietnam in the pilot. She wore glasses that she hated, then she got contacts. Prefers to be called Gwendolyn, but dropped that after the pilot episode, even though her parents call her Winnie. The only one who called her Gwendolyn was that theater director. She likes ice skating, performing in theatrical stage performances, and she plays field hockey. Am I forgetting anything? Nope, I think that's it. Paul spots Winnie walking past their table and stops her to excitedly point out, look, Icarus! Winnie just looks at Kevin miserably with an expression that speaks volumes like, why did I let you talk me into going out with him? This was such a bad idea. Now I gotta dump him and it's gonna be awkward. Get me out of this, Kevin. Paul's still holding up the book as he watches the exchange of uncomfortable looks pass between Kevin and Winnie. Kevin, finally sensing he should get out of there, just tells him, I gotta go. Paul just looks at him confused as Kevin takes his tray and exits the lunchroom. At home, Kevin's watching Mr. Ed while Wayne's girlfriend Dolores is giving a play-by-play commentary on the episode, telling Kevin how gross Ed the horse is and the way that he moves his lips. It's totally unbelievable. And he also water skis. Well, suspension of disbelief, I guess. You want to talk gross? Look at the annoying way she's chomping and snapping on her gum. And then she's pulling it out slowly out of her mouth and wrapping it around her finger. That's fucking nasty. Wayne comes in with sodas and asks, hey, what's up? Basically, what's up Kevin's butt, referring to his attitude. Wayne asks, what's up in Kevy Land? And then gets to the root of it, suggesting maybe it's because of an ex-best friend and an ex-best girl are hanging out together. Then Dolores adds how her friend Lisa saw Winnie and Paul sharing a soda at Winkies. Winkies? That sounds like a kinky place to hang and grab a bite to eat. Wayne tells Kevin he's not surprised, and Kevin asks, what's that supposed to mean? Wayne tells him, nothing, just that I saw it coming from a mile away. Bullshit, Wayne, you did not. Then Wayne wonders aloud if Paul takes off his glasses before he makes out with Winnie. Like, I don't know. I don't think you need to take off your glasses to be able to do that. I mean, it does kind of help. Sometimes it might be getting in the way. But other than that, where the hell is Buster? We saw him in the beginning of the episode. He's not in the basement, is he? I mean, Kevin's home. He could be walking him and clearing his head at the same time. The camera flashes to the TV screen as Ed gives some pointed words to Kevin about him being blind if he can't see the attraction between Paul and Winnie. Here we go again. Kevin and his hallucinations. In gym class the next day, Coach Cutlip is demonstrating a wrestling move on a student. Would that even be allowed today? He's got this boy's neck pinned to the mat, and his other hand is behind this poor kid's back. He's got the kid's hand, like, pinned behind his back, just barely grazing his ass. That poor kid is grimacing in pain. I had to rewind this, but when Cutlip stands up from the mat, he gives the boy still laying on the mat a little nudge in the side with his foot. I mean, I thought at first when I watched it, I thought he like kicked him in the stomach with his foot, but it was just a nudge to move him along. I seriously would not think that a teacher could do that in today's gym class and would have two students demonstrating a move. I know this was in the 70s, but that kind of thing wouldn't be allowed today, I don't think. Kevin and Paul look on with the other kids as Kevin brings up to Paul about, you know, our past conversation about how if I felt uncomfortable about you and Winnie together that, you know, you would end the relationship. But then he asks Paul, who looks at Kevin and tells him, well, I'm not sure. You know, maybe if you had asked me a few days ago. So Kevin asks, okay, so now you're saying no. And Paul tells him, well, no, I'm not saying that exactly. Then Paul tells Kevin, you know, why don't you just admit that you like her? And Kevin tells him, well, because I don't. And Paul shouts, well, that's good because I do. And Cutlip calls Kevin and Paul to the mat as the boys continue to argue. Paul is pissed off as he hands a kid sitting off to the side his glasses like, here, hold these. And he and Kevin square off on the mat. The second Cutlip calls go, the boys launch at each other, hands grabbing faces, pulling each other down by their arm, you know, arms going around the necks in a chokehold. They go down in a pile on the mat. There's a jumbling mass of arms, legs swinging wildly. It's Cutlip stands up from the side saying, guys, this is not wrestling. But the other classmates, they jump up and they all crowd around them in a circle, yelling words of encouragement like, go, Kevin, go, go, Paul, go, Paul. The boys are telling each other to give, like, give, no, you give, no, you give. And neither is going to budge on the matter and look weak or admit defeat. Paul's got Kevin pinned to the ground as their legs move clockwise around the mat. I'm like, Paul's using that advantage of being tall and, like, pinning Kevin to the ground where he really can't move much of his upper half. Later that night, Kevin's riding his bike and stops outside Winnie's house as he sees Winnie give Paul the official, Paul, we've got to end this. There's no chemistry between us. I like somebody else. And she gives him a light kiss on the cheek as Paul walks away defeated with a crumpled heart. Poor Paul, struck out twice. He's 0-2. Dumped twice in 1 week in a five-day school week. Kevin slowly rides his bike alongside the sidewalk as Paul comes trudging down it and he apologizes for earlier in gym. Kevin does about, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my head. Then he tells Paul, for what it's worth, I hope you and Winnie will be very happy together. God, that's gotta break him. But Paul just continues to stare at the ground as he sadly mutters, she dumped me. Kevin, not hearing, asks, huh? And Paul repeats it. Kevin, surprised, asks, she did? Paul tells him that, well, they decided to just be friends. You know, I'm glad that they didn't get too deep into the relationship and were able to maintain their friendship. That's probably the biggest leap two friends can take when it comes to having a romantic relationship together versus people that just started out romantically without being friends first, like Jeremy and I. He was my coworker first. There was no real friendship stage. We pretty much just jumped right into dating. Paul admits that, well, actually Winnie decided that we should just be friends. Then he tells Kevin how Winnie told him, well, she told me she likes someone else. Paul speaks to himself that he, well, I should have known. It was pretty obvious. But then he looks at Kevin solemnly telling him, hey, I had to take a shot, right? Oh, my poor Polly. Oh, buddy, I just want to give you a hug. Then Paul wonders aloud that he couldn't figure it out. Why she asked him out in the first place, then turns to Kevin and asks, can you? Kevin tells him, well, yeah. She told me she thinks you're cute. Aw, Kevin, way to cheer up your buddy. Paul, surprised, asks Kevin, she said that? Kevin asks Paul if when he said, did she say who she liked? And Paul tells him, I can't tell you, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. She made me promise. Come on, Paul, Kevin pleads, but then he looks at Paul and it dawns on him. Paul then apologizes for the scissors lock and Kevin tells him, don't worry about it, I didn't feel a thing. And Paul smirks, yeah, sure, I heard you whimpering. In your dreams, Kevin says. Paul walks off and Kevin decides to approach Winnie's door and asks her for himself, feeling older but still young. He's like, okay, I gotta make my move. I gotta find out. This is gonna kill me. I'm not gonna sleep tonight if I don't know. Winnie opens the door, and I swear the watt of her smile could light up the world as she greets him. And his smile is just as big. He tells us it all made sense now. He loved Winnie Cooper, and she loved him. Kevin tells her, Winnie, I just want you to know that I know. And you don't have to say anything, just know that I know, okay? And she looks at him confused and asks, know what? Oh boy, this is gonna end bad. Kevin, buddy, this is not the way to go about this, I am telling you. You are not playing it cool. Winnie, Paul told me. Paul told me. You'd think fireworks were exploding in his pants, he's so jazzed up. And I'm glad he did, as Winnie narrows her eyes at him. Paul told you? Oh, yeah, she's pissed, guys. He says you're crazy about me, Kevin tells her. No, he did not. You're laying it on awfully thick, Kevin. I know you love this girl, but chill, boy. Chill out. She doesn't say anything. She just slams the door in his face as he stands there on the darkened doorstep, utterly puzzled. Then the colorful letters to be continued pop up on the screen. And that is the end of the episode. So it's time for my Flower Power episode rating. I'm giving this episode 3 out of 5 Flower Power petals. 1, for Kevin cheering up Paul by having Winnie go out on a date, what I believe is a pity date with Paul. I mean, sure, his heart might have been in the right place, but you don't do that. I'm sure if that were Kevin and Paul were in Kevin's position, he wouldn't suggest, hey, get back out there and go date someone to make your ex jealous. Like, I wouldn't recommend that. 2, I loved the boys scrapping it up during wrestling. It was fun to watch them get their aggressions out since they clearly couldn't talk it out. But it was fun to watch. 3, Kevin going up to Winnie at the end of the episode and confessing his awareness of her interest in him. I knocked 2 Flower Power petals off this episode. 1, poor Paul got dumped twice in the span of a school week. Once by Carla and then by Winnie. Although maybe Winnie needed to go out with Paul to affirm her true feelings for Kevin. 2, 2 out of the 5 Arnold family members were not seen in this episode, Norma and Karen. Jack and Wayne were also only in one scene in the whole episode. My wonderling words of wisdom, please don't do what Kevin did and set your friend up on a pity date with another friend. In fact, don't do what Kevin did at all in this episode. If your friend gets dumped, don't suggest they date someone else to move on and make their ex jealous. Kevin was already on Paul to find someone new hours after Carla dumped him. Let him heal and lick his wounds first, Kev. Here's my quote of the episode. Narrator, I'd never felt so lost in my life. I tried to make sense of what had happened. I wanted to believe Paul had lied to me. Winnie, too. But somehow, I knew better. I'd been lying to myself. The funny thing is, now that I was sure about my feelings for Winnie, there they were, my best friend and my best girl. I had brought them together, and now I had no right to interfere. All right, let's give a shout out to some new listeners for the week. Baldwin Park, California, Manchester, Connecticut, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Deer Lake, Canada, Brentwood, New York, St. Petersburg, Florida, Hampstead, United Kingdom, Ashburn, Virginia, New Albany, Indiana, Newburyport, Maine, Winnipeg, Canada, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Westlake Village, California, and Hollywood, Florida, and Belgium. Join me tomorrow when I review Season 3, Episode 15, The Treehouse, which aired on February 20th, 1990. In this episode, Kevin and his dad decide to build a treehouse in the sun, and the bleh, build a treehouse in the backyard. However, their father-son bonding is soon derailed when their work gives them a bird's-eye view of an attractive female neighbor. See you tomorrow and enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys.